Welcome to the Hustler's Guide to Flow. I'm your host, Marcia Miyake, and I'm taking you into the minds of some of the most incredible leaders in the medical, research, business, and yes, even spiritual fields to equip you with powerful insights and practical strategies to level up in business and in life. The next level version of yourself starts now.
Welcome back to another episode, my loves. Let's talk imposter syndrome. I feel like if you are someone that is making moves in this world, you're experiencing it right now. It's totally normal. So let's talk a little bit about it. So imposter syndrome is this feeling that you're like going to be found out, that people are going to call you out, that you're not qualified or you shouldn't be where you're at. And I can totally put my hand up that I've experienced this most of my life. My God, in my career, I was constantly afraid that someone was going to be like, you don't deserve to be here. In my PhD, for sure, I was like constantly like, they're going to tap me on the shoulder and be like, sorry, we made a mistake. We meant to give the scholarship to someone else. Like it was a legit thing. But interestingly, while I was doing my PhD, I was doing this workshop where it was about how to succeed as a PhD student. And do you know what the first thing they covered? Imposter syndrome. Because I can't remember the exact percentage it was, because it was a workshop. They said between 90 and 95% of PhD students experience imposter syndrome because they feel like they're around, you know, some of the most intelligent people around. And they're like, I'm going to be found out that I'm just not as intelligent as everybody else. And that was such a sigh of relief at the time, even though I was still like, oh my God, I don't deserve to be here. But it was really interesting to know that. Now let's take this out of academia. They say it's about 70% of people experience imposter syndrome. And I would actually argue that women experience more imposter syndrome than men, especially in a business context. And the reason I came to that conclusion is because they were saying, I was reading an article about women of color experiencing higher levels of imposter syndrome for the mere reason that we don't see a lot of women of color in high level positions. You know, one of the things we look to validate whether we're good enough for something is to see if whether we are worthy of something is to look around to see if there's any other people like us doing what we're doing, which is why, you know, I think women in general have imposter syndrome in like a business context, because for the most part, you know, the percentage of women executives to male executives it's a huge difference. And then if you want to add a colored woman in there, it makes it even more significant. But the point I'm trying to make is this: you're going to experience it regardless. And it's actually a great sign. Because we're already saying, you know, that as a general number, 70% of people are experiencing it. I would say that if you're doing anything new, if you're pushing yourself, if you're going into new areas, of course you're going to feel it. Of course. And I would say if you're not feeling it, you're not pushing yourself enough. Now, there's a difference between feeling it and identifying it and staying there, right? So what I'll talk about today is the different types of how it can show up. So maybe you can find yourself in one of these five types of imposters, see if one resonates with you more. But then like, what can we do about it, right? Like, how do we like not stay there? So, but I think the first thing we need to acknowledge is that it's totally normal, right? And in fact, you would prefer to have imposter syndrome versus the opposite, which is the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is this hypothetical cognitive bias stating that people with low ability at a task tend to overestimate their ability, right? So people who are less competent overestimate their ability. People who are more competent tend to underestimate their ability, right? So where would you rather be? Obviously, you'd rather be the one that's more competent that would need to just do more of the mental work to overcome those limiting beliefs, because that's all it is. All right. So now I'm going to be referencing the work of Dr. Valerie Young, where she talks about the five different types of imposters, and I'll briefly go over them. So imposter one is the expert, and that's when you feel like you need to know everything about everything on a subject before you feel good enough, before you feel like an expert. Oh my God, I see this so much. First of all, that was me, especially when I was starting my coaching business. I was like, okay, so first the PhD, then the certification. But then when I had the certification, I was like, okay, well, I'm not an expert in this. And I was always looking for gaps in my skill set. And that is a trap, because you're never going to know everything about a subject, never. So that is setting yourself up to get stuck in an unhelpful thought pattern. Okay, number two is the perfectionist. And that's when you feel like anxiety about your work. Like you're like, oh my God, it's not perfect. And again, I definitely felt this. So when I used to do reports for executives, and because I was working at a university, and I knew because I would hear them talking, like they were so anal with grammar and punctuation and, you know, just making sure that your writing was such at such a high level. But then I had time frames that I had to like get these reports done. I remember I used to submit reports and have anxiety, and I used to sit there at my desk and think about like, oh my God, they're going to see that it wasn't perfect and I could have done better. I could have made my sentence flow better and wasn't punchy enough and da, da, da. And so, yeah, it's having anxiety over your work because you want it to be perfect. And that is going to F you up in everything, especially in entrepreneurship. Number three is the natural geniuses. So these types of people are just naturally pick things up or are naturally really smart. So I see a little bit of this. My daughter, she picks things up so quickly, so much so that if she doesn't get things right away, she just like throws it. She doesn't want anything to do with it. So natural geniuses, like they want to stick to their like what they're amazing at, and they're almost too scared to delve into the new stuff. And that, I mean, for obvious reasons, that's a really limited way of looking at things, because then you'll never expand your skill set. Okay, then we've got the soloist, and that's a person who almost proves their worthiness by working alone. Like they're like, I'll do this on my own, and they're scared to ask for help because they feel like asking for help will admit that they're not good enough, right? We'll show how they're not worthy and how they're like an imposter, which you can imagine would be really not helpful in any context, especially in team dynamics. And then there's the superheroes who are all about like putting in extreme effort. Like they're like, I'm going to prove that I'm like worthy of this by like working more hours than anybody else. So they become like workaholics. They end up working themselves to burnout because they have to do more than everybody else to show that they are worthy, to show that they deserve to be where they're at. Okay. So for me, I can definitely, probably the first two, expert and perfectionist, are ones that really hinder me. And it's just about having awareness around them and just recognizing that, you know what, it's normal to have imposter syndrome, especially if you're doing new things. If you're going out there and trying new things, of course you're going to have imposter syndrome. And the opposite of that would be the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is a hypothetical cognitive bias stating that people with low ability at a task overestimate their ability, right? So who would you rather be, the person who overestimates their ability or underestimates their ability? I would rather be the one that is more competent, but that I need to work on my mindset. And that's just it. It's just a mindset thing. We just need to be aware of having that imposter syndrome, knowing that it's totally normal, and then working through that. So how do we do that? Well, number one, is if you start feeling yourself creeping up with these thoughts of feeling like an imposter, is just to remind yourself that this is just a thought pattern of the competent, right? Remember the opposite, the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? So this is normal thought pattern of people who are competent, right? Now we need to find the truth, okay? Because these thought patterns, a lot of them are going to be bullshit and they're not even true. So we want to find out like what's fact in all of this, Okay. Like, and sometimes it'll be so obvious, you know, sometimes it'll be so obvious. Like you can just look at the facts. Okay. Let's go back to my experience. I was like, they're going to find out that I shouldn't have, they shouldn't have given me the scholarship and that's it. And they're going to tell me that I shouldn't be here. Well, then I could go, what's the truth of this? Okay. Well, could this be a mistake? Not really likely. Like there was more than one person that looked at my application. They had more than one thing to validate my application, you know, my scores, my letters, my references, and it went through a panel. It wasn't just one person. So right away, you can find the truth in the statements and the falsehoods. Like what is your mind just making up and what's actually true? Oh, okay, you sat in front of a panel and people hired you. And so obviously you're good enough to be in that job or they wouldn't have hired you. Okay, let's say you're a coach. All right, well, that person had a connection with you and they liked your work. Otherwise, they wouldn't have hired you. You're obviously ready to do this work, right? So it's like dissecting the stream of thoughts to find the truth in there and what's absolute bullshit. And then the last step is reflect on your past successes. Because when we're trying something new, because there's no proof, it's really easy to get caught up in the like, oh my God, like so many, everybody else has so much more experience, or I'm new at this, or whatever it is that your brain wants to go to. But you've tried new things before and you've succeeded. And you've just succeeded in the past, period. So one of the ways that you can do this is to write a reverse bucket list. And I did a video on it. I'll put the link in the show notes to get access to it. But basically a reverse bucket list is just, rather than a bucket list where we're writing down all the things we one day hope to achieve, we write down all the things we've already achieved. Sometimes we forget. No. We often forget of all the things we achieved because our brain is always looking for the gaps and the holes and what we didn't do. So we need to train it to focus on the good things. So we create a list of all of the times we've succeeded so that we can look at that and be like, oh my God, yeah, my mind is just running away from me. I got this. This is a challenge. This is normal. A lot of competent people, most competent people have these same thought patterns. And the difference between those people and the people that get stuck is the people that choose to move through that discomfort and recognize imposter syndrome for what it is, right? It's your brain protecting you from new because your brain's like, I don't know. I don't want you to fail. I don't want us to fail. I got to keep us safe. So you need to come in and calm your brain with, here's the evidence of where we've succeeded. We've got this. Let's take some deep breaths. Anybody that's doing anything, any kind of movers and shakers in the world is experiencing this. And in fact, if I'm not experiencing some kind of imposter syndrome, I'm probably not doing enough.
Okay, guys, I hope you got some powerful takeaways from this episode. If so, please share it with someone. And if you haven't done so already, please review and subscribe as it helps us to spread our message of inspiration. Sending you all so much love, and I'll see you on the next episode of The Hustler's Guide to Flow.